to invite Sharon to come forward as we hear these words, as we begin our worship this morning. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let us give thanks and worship. And we're going to start singing that wonderful chorus, "Arise, Shine."
Oh,
Gracious God, what a gift this world is to us. As we watch the landscape begin to merge into spring, we watch as the mystery of new life begins. Trees begin to shed their branches as leaves appear once again. The sound of the songbird is heard in the early morning and through the day. Green grass has replaced the barren earth of winter. The days are lengthening. Although the showers do come, flowers are appearing, yellow and red, pink and blue. Spring reminds us that although the landscape appears to hold no life, life is there. Lord, sometimes we feel like our lives are barren, devoid of joy and happiness that we expect. And we wonder where the grace is. We toss and turn through restless nights. Our bodies struggle with colds and flu, COVID and pain and disease. And our minds ask, why? Why is life so hard? And then we hear the sound of laughter. As our grandchildren burst through the door, we experience the joy of a phone call from a son or daughter long absent. We receive an answer to prayer prayed for many years, or we receive news that the ache in our heart is not a heart attack, but simply stress. We feel the embrace of a friend, receive the smile of a stranger, are handed a card from a child with the words, "I love you, Mom," and we realize that you are God who knows all things. Lord, remove our fears of the future. Replace doubt with faith. Teach us to trust that you are a God who hears and answers prayer even when prayed in haste. Help us to know that even when we feel far from you, you have never left us or deserted us. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of gratitude. Forgive us for forgetting that you desire to just hang out with us. Forgive us for expecting our lives to be perfect and expecting those whom we love to be perfect also. Teach us to love you and love others, and to love ourselves. And Lord, help us to find you in this time of worship as we sing praises to you, as we hear your word read, and as we ponder the meaning of the story shared. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
And the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And let us, with our gaze, give greetings to one another.
I like to wave.
Oh, I think someday we will actually be able to get up and roam.
That's right.
Not yet. It can't happen yet. Oh, dear. All right, so we're going to sing that chorus, "Freely, freely, you have received, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live as we present the offerings." Them. and they will be used to help many, that the good news of who you are as our Lord and Savior might spread near and far. Thank you for being in the work that we do and in the monies that we receive, and we offer this offering to you to say thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we were to have Amos here with us this morning, but I had a call late this week that her family has had an incident with COVID, and so we're wanting to be thinking of them and just remembering them. You know, we kind of get used to COVID, but then when it hits close to home, it's like, oh yeah, here we go again. And so it's hard because we're still, I know the hospitals, I know that the Stratford Hospital, where here has been,
yes, our unit.
The unit, has her unit been affected again?
Yeah.
And all the protocols and restrictions and all of that that has to take place. It's not easy, but thank goodness we have the ability to have care, medical care, and to be able to recover. And thankfully, people don't seem to be quite as ill with this Omicron version as we've had with some of the others. And for that, we're grateful. So we're going to go on to our family hymn for today, The Wise Neighboring Memory. And you can remain seated for this hymn.
And, you know, it would spin around like this, and the wave, and
they made the curds, which they tossed out.
Right.
Because they were not good to eat. And now they cost an arm and a leg.
That's right.
But no, they had the cheese in big round, they were like wooden and a steel belt going around type of thing. And they were left for years to age. And I remember walking over and watching.
And curds. And what, would she actually skim off the whey or the curds?
Yes. And she would open up the big things of cheese and pull that out that was in gauze, and then they would be sliced up into for like the store and stuff.
She would have learned a lot in that position.
It was just around the corner. We got those curds, but you couldn't buy them back then.
What other jobs did your mother do?
My mother was a teacher.
Okay, good, Marilyn. And what grades did she teach?
Grades 7 and 8, and she was a librarian.
And a librarian as well. Okay, a lot of jobs space there. Yeah. Sharon?
My mother was what they used to call an executive secretary.
Oh, okay.
Where you work for someone. Nowadays, you do your own typing and everything, but back in those days, that's what she was.
So
and then at the end of her career, she worked in the warehouse for GM in Woodstock.
Okay, interesting. Various job skills involved with that. Anybody else? Doug?
My mom took a course there at the, we were young kids anymore. I would have been in high school, but she took a nurse's aide course and worked at the old Abcrest hospital there on John Street across from the hospital now.
Okay.
There was quite a few neighbors that also that did that around our neighborhood that took that course and brought a little extra money, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And job skills needed as she cared to the basics of patient care would be involved with her training. Yeah, anybody else, Elaine?
My mom was also a secretary until my dad got married, and then she was a farmer's wife, so did all the farming.
Yeah. And you know, being a farmer's wife is a very complex job. I feel like they have to do everything. They have to know how to do everything. Yeah, very busy. Busy work. Nancy?
Mom was a domestic engineer.
I mean, she was a homemaker, as she called.
She was the best baker. She was the best gardener.
Yeah.
She raised 5 kids.
Yeah.
And she did a pretty good job because I learned a lot through osmosis.
Yes.
You don't realize you're learning it at the time.
Yeah.
But you learn the skills as you observe and watch. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have her a long time, 39 years. And a lot.
Mm-hmm. But you learned as she worked. And a good memory of all the different tasks that she did. Yes, good, Nancy. Anybody else, Paul?
So, we had a farm southwest of St. Mary's.
Okay.
And so, Mom was a farmer's wife at that time. And
yeah.
Memories that I have, I remember being out on the lawn, and Grandma and Mom would be out killing the chickens, right?
Baby, I would do what was needed to get the food.
Get ready for winter. Right.
And did they pluck all the feathers out?
Yeah, I distinctly remember the smell of the of the chicken going into the boiling water.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was what they did, right?
Yeah.
To make ends meet. So then she became a seamstress in St. Mary's at Ravens and Menswear. So you don't have too many seamstresses anymore.
Yes, that's right. And it takes precision, a great deal of skill. Wow. Anyone else? Well, I was thinking about what my mom did. And she, like you, Nancy, she was a domestic engineer. With 5 kids in our family, she had a lot to contend with. But she had her degree in voice, and so she was a choir leader of large choirs in Toronto. And I can remember when we were young, very young, I think I was about 5, and Bob was 4, and Catherine was 6. She would hold these big concerts in downtown Toronto. And it was a gathering of all of the United Church women, because we were in the United Church at that time. And they would put on concerts in different churches. And then she started to move a little bit further out, and their concerts went up to the north of Ontario. And actually, one year they were in Chautauqua, New York, singing Handel's the Creation as one of the pieces of the oratorios that they did. And so music was always in our home. And although she didn't make money doing the work of conducting these choirs, it was the love of her life and such a part of who she was. And then over time, it shifted to our family singing, and then we started to go across Canada doing singing tours and then over to Britain. So it was interesting for me to think. She did try 2 days as a supply teacher of music and absolutely hated it and said, I can't do that. And she would try different things, but she was very much an entrepreneur, as was my dad. And so it was interesting to see the different jobs that she would do. And so I have another question to ask you. This time, I'm going to have you kind of share amongst yourselves what the answer to this question might be. If you could ask your mom this question, how might she respond? What I enjoy doing the most is...
being with me.
What else do you think she would say? What I enjoy the most is... It's funny. Yeah, go ahead, Paul. You're allowed.
I'll speak for her mother.
Okay.
So it was definitely a family, right? And they were saying,
join the family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Family came over, that was a way of her life.
Yeah.
No, I didn't fall into that category.
Were you always giving you trouble,
Paul?
Oh, okay. Here's the second question. If I could change the world in any way, I would. What would your mother respond to that? If I could change the world in any way, I would.
Have it peaceful.
Have it peaceful. Peace. Yeah? Think of anything else your mother might respond to? I hear you, Marion.
I was going to say, free of diseases like this COVID.
Yeah. I think a lot of mothers are wishing that right now. If they could change anything, they'd snap their fingers and COVID would be gone. Or all the diseases that are in our world.
There's cancer, certainly all that stuff.
In Malawi, you know what the main disease of the under fives are? Malaria. And the vaccines are starting to come out, but it'll be a long while before they get to the north of Malawi, yeah. So to see the eradication of disease and illness like COVID, yeah. Anything else? If I could change the world in any way, I would.
Tell everyone to be kind.
Yes, yeah. Really promote that idea of kindness. We need more of that in our world, don't we? And the third question I want to ask you to ponder today is, how would your mother respond to this statement? The greatest gift I can give my child or children is...
love.
Love. What else?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Yeah, you shared, Nancy. What else?
music.
After?
She would say faith and music.
Yes. Faith and music. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder if we were to ask these questions to the mothers of today, if the response would be any different to what we think our mothers would respond. Or are the responses going to be the same? I dare say I think they would be very similar. It doesn't seem like the generations change what mothers feel and what mothers desire to see, even through the ages. And we're going to be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, in a few minutes. And I don't think that the things that Mary and the women of her day who were mothers were thinking in response to these questions would be much different from what we've shared today. And that's rather unique and a very unique thing to think about. So we're blessed with the mothers that are in our lives. Some mothers are our biological mothers and grandmothers. Some mothers are non-related, but have given us a nurturing and play a nurturing role in our lives. Sometimes we struggle on Mother's Day with the relationship with our mothers. And some, for Mother's Day, this day is a trigger of grief, of woundedness, of loss, of unexpected expectations. So I'm going to ask if all the mothers that are here today could stand while I pray for you. Can I have a mother stand? All right, let us pray. Lord, we pray for all the mothers that are in our midst today and for those listening to this service. We pray that you would hear their prayers. We pray that you would give them strength in many tasks of each day. May they know that their care for their families and for others is seen by you. Help them as they continue to navigate through the days ahead and bless them abundantly. May they seek you and find you as the one on whom they can lean when life becomes overwhelming. As they go about their day to day, may they experience the love of family, but also the love that you have for them. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And blessings to all of you on this Mother's Day. Catherine, thank you for coming forward and leading us as we do our responsive reading.
Responsive reading is Psalm 128, and it's found on page 573. And this is called a Song of Ascents. This would have been one of the psalms that they would have repeated when they went up to Jerusalem. Happy is everyone who hears the Lord and walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands.
You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
And our first scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, and it's on page 59. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and men's favor. Our second scripture is from Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14 and going through to chapter 4, verse 6. And it's on page 193 if you'd like to follow along. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all."
Thank you very much, Kat, and appreciate that. Okay. I came across a very humorous story as I was preparing for this service this week, which I felt was very appropriate for today. A young man on his graduation from high school was chosen to give the commencement speech. He began by reading his prepared text. "I want to talk about my mother and the wonderful influence she's been on my life," he told the audience. "She is a shining example of parenthood, and I love her more than words could ever do justice." At this point, he seemed to struggle for words. After a pause, he looked up with a sly grin and said, "Sorry, it's really hard for me to read my mother's handwriting." Mothers, what were you thinking as you heard Catherine read the as a 12-year-old. Were you ever lost as a child? And you know, for Jesus, it just wasn't one day. It was 2 days, and then it was 3 days. As a parent, have you ever lost a child? Even for a moment, you know, you turn your back and you're in that grocery store and all of a sudden they're gone, just like that. And you think, where are they? Well, usually I tell mothers, head for the candy aisle. That's where they might be, but you never know. The story was told of Billy Graham on a flight overseas as he was about to do a revival. And he was on a commercial flight, as he often flew, just in regular seating, not first class or anything like that. And as he was sitting, just enjoying the flight, the steward came up and whispered in his ear, "Billy, the pilot wants to speak to you." Now, this was not unusual because when he traveled, people tended to know who Billy Graham was, and they would often want to have conversation or speak to him. And so without much concern, he went forward into the cockpit, and these were the years when we didn't have the cockpit doors locked for fear of terrorism. When he entered the cockpit, he could tell that the pilot and co-pilot were in quite a bit of distress. And the pilot said to Billy, "We have some good news and we have some bad news. What would you like to hear first?" Billy said he wanted to hear the good news first. And the pilot said, "Well, we're cruising at 670 miles an hour. That's the good news. The bad news is we are lost. We have lost all our navigation equipment. Something has gone terribly wrong with our communication system, and we are literally flying without anyone to help us." Something was terribly wrong. But they had the insight to call Billy Graham. Why? Why do you think they did? He wasn't a pilot. Ah, but he knew the great pilot. And they knew that he would pray. And that he did. They asked him to pray that somehow, in some way, they would be able to navigate the plane and find where they were. And so he prayed, and they waited. And a few hours later, they were finally able to see land, and to be able to have visual awareness to figure out where they were. And that is no easy feat when you're in the air. And they made it safely. Good news and bad news. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph's prayer that night as they realized that Jesus was lost? "Dear God, we have good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first?" "Well, Heavenly Father, you've trusted us with your son. That's the good news. The bad news is he's lost." How in the world could something like this happen to us? They probably thought. And when they couldn't find him among the relatives and the friends that were on that journey from Jerusalem, with heavy hearts, knowing that Jerusalem was not a kind city, there was danger in the city of Jerusalem, they returned to seek out their son. How could we have left without knowing where he was, they must have thought? How could we go and assume that he was with us? And now, where do we find him? The text invites us to ponder where they looked first. Where do you think they looked first when they got back that night? Did they go back to where they had stayed? Did they go down to the marketplace? Did they go to the historic sites they might have seen? This was a significant event in the life of Jesus, to go up to this holy city of Jerusalem. And they felt great responsibility, incredible responsibility for Jesus. They retraced their steps. They questioned people. You can just hear them. Where can we be? Are we not searching hard enough? Are we looking in the right places? And after 3 days, I can't imagine the agony they were in. After 3 days, they find him in the temple. And Mary blurts out an accusation, perhaps tinged with a mix of guilt and relief that often parents feel when they find a lost child. How could you do this to us? How could you get lost? But Jesus issues a gentle rebuke. Why were you searching for me? He says. He expected more from his mother and father. I mean, did you not know that I was going about my father's business? Of course I'd be in the temple. That's where God is. Well, their search had finally brought them to the place where Jesus was found. How things become so ordinary after a long while. You know, it had been a long time since the choir of angels, adoring shepherds and magi. It had been a long while since they had fled to Egypt and then returned to Nazareth. And the year after year after year brought ordinary days as Jesus just grew. He was a boy who had to learn how to walk and talk and all the things that children need to learn. And the ordinary days may have dimmed their reality of who Jesus really was. And one thing is certain. This story confirmed who Jesus was. It was very important that they know that Jesus wasn't the son of Mary and Joseph. Who was Jesus? He was the Son of God. And maybe this was a transition for them from recognizing Jesus as their son to recognizing him as the Son of God. That he was the Son of God who was his Father. And he was about his Father's business within the temple, developing through dialogue with the priests, developing through dialogue with the Holy Scriptures, his relationship with the Heavenly Father, and preparing him for the work that he would do. Where do we find the Son of God? Today, as I was driving here this morning, I thought, where is the Son of God today? And as I came over the crest of the hill and down into Harrington, I thought, how blessed am I to be able to encounter the Son of God in this place with each of you, in this act of worship, as we're able to gather together, which we haven't done for a long time, as we're able to sing hymns of praise to God, to hear God's word read. How blessed are we that we can find the Son of God here, but we can find him anywhere. It isn't limited to this building. Although this is a special place, when we come here, we feel the special presence of God. But we can feel him anywhere. Anywhere that we are. Because he resides within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are some people that are trying to find Jesus today in various places. Some of them are trying to find him in world religions. They learn that all gods are the same, and you can find your God in whatever religion you worship. Some look for him there. Some believe that they are God. and that they just have to look at the divine within each of us, and they will discover who God is. Some tell stories of seeing Jesus in dreams and in visions, and they want us to believe that Jesus is found in the mystic experiences that people have. I had a client go to a palm reader not so long ago to find who God was through that experience. Some believe that Jesus can be found in the hard work they do, or in a mantra like, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. They want us to believe that Jesus is found in doing good things in the world. These people are a lot like Mary and Joseph, for they were searching for Jesus in all sorts of places, and people today are searching for Jesus in all sorts of places. But the good news is, like Mary and Joseph, our search has ended because we know where Jesus is. So Jesus is about his Father's business when he comes and speaks to us in his word. And this Jesus who brings God and humanity together in one person can be found wherever two or three are gathered in his name. You know, this scripture that Catherine read just in Ephesians gives us such hope. And you know, God's word is such a gift to us. Because when we're going through difficulty and times when Jesus feels a little lost in our lives, or we feel a little lost from him, we can open God's word and we can read these words. Now to him who by the power at work within us, that means Jesus who's working within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. That means that God can do the impossible. It means that through Jesus Christ, mountains can be removed. It means that when the medical profession have given up hope, Jesus gives us hope for healing. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, not just us, but to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Marvelous prayer that we can pray at any time. This pandemic and the lockdown challenges us to not get too comfortable in our isolation from the church. People are still feeling the need to be isolated. And for many in the world, they're on a wild goose chase searching for Jesus where he has not promised to be. Although 2020 and 2021 were hard years, Jesus was with us the entire time. And as we transition back into worship as a community of faith, the Lord has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us, and he wants to bless us abundantly. I can only imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt that third night when Jesus was safe and accounted for. But something had shifted for both of them. They were reminded that once again, Jesus was the Son of God, not the son of Mary and Joseph. They were reminded that Jesus was not an ordinary child, but rather the Savior of the world. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. May it be so with us today. Let us sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." Now, listen, right, Stacy. for women who became widows at too young an age, and for women who are alone. Help those who must care for aging mothers, who are not like they used to be, and comfort those who have lost their mothers in recent days. Lord, please teach us how to love the women all around us and ways which will encourage them. Help us not to be afraid to say, I love you. Lord, as a church family, we desire to love others in our families, in this church, in this community and surrounding area. Show us how we can be your light in this world. Help us to seek out innovative ways to bring hope and peace, healing and care to those you will bring across our paths this week. And Lord, we pray for those in need. We remember Roger and Janice and Bill and Nancy's family and Brenda and all those who are struggling with COVID. Gracious God, as we prepare to begin a new week, guide us in the words we should say to others. Help us to be gentle in our actions towards our loved ones and keep us in your care. And Lord, if there are those here today who are feeling lost, feeling disconnected from you, may you find them and may they find you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and friend. Amen. And I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand as we sing, We Are God's People.
Thank you.
present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. The only wise God be honor and glory this day and in the week ahead.